Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Severe thunderstorm warning in effect for central Pennsylvania.
Basically, anywhere right now in the listening area, you're in the target area for a severe thunderstorm. There's a line of storms from the New York border bending just to the west of Williamsport all the way to State College.
There's also a second line after that as well. But a lot of lightning strikes with this, especially in the northern tier. So just be prepared. No need to run for your lives.
You know, that's the best thing about this show. Not only can we talk sports, we can also discuss meteorology.
Well, this morning, of course, the North Koreans had threatened to fire a missile on Wednesday. So I get up this morning and, you know, I turned on the TV and I flipped over to Fox News at one point. And they were coming using the Captain and Tennille as bumper music coming out of a break. And I thought to myself, if they're playing the Captain and Tennille, the North Koreans did nothing overnight.
We're okay.
That was pretty much my tip-off and signal that at least we've been able to negotiate the day well so far. Bucknell has released its football schedule.
They have indeed. They'll play five home games starting on September 7th with Marist. They'll play on the road at Cornell, at Lafayette, at Dartmouth, at Colgate and Fordham, and then end the season on the 23rd at VMI. The league games at home will be Holy Cross on October 12th, Lehigh on the 26th, and Georgetown on November the 16th. Then Lafayette and Colgate, as I mentioned, are both league games that are on the road. Fordham, of course, they're not quite a conference one yet, but they may change that now that the scholarships are available in the next couple of years. That may become a Patriot League game again.
And by the way, what you don't get is what I get. And that is the whining, moaning, and complaining during the break about where they're going.
Well, there's at Dartmouth.
Hanover, New Hampshire. Okay, is a gorgeous town.
I believe it would be if I could actually see it.
Go. Take it in. It's next to the Connecticut River, right on the New Hampshire-Vermont line with the Connecticut River separating them.
Says the man who flies and is home by 6 o'clock the same day after a noon start.
I admit I live that life. You describe me. I also do minor league baseball.
That's true. There's a little travel there. A little travel.
And believe me, I regulate it.
If it's not inside your 100-mile radius, I'll be out on that one.
No. I've done a series at every New York Penn League site except Tri-City, which is where it's Albany, Troy, Schenectady. It's the only one I've never done a road game at. And that's only because of circumstances. You know, where it fell on the schedule. They only play there every other year. But I've gone everywhere else. I've done a lot of games at Mahoning Valley, which is in Ohio. I've only done one series at Aberdeen. Because I think Aberdeen's a beautiful ballpark. It's the Ripkins own it, Cal and Billy. And beautiful ballpark, great area. And unfortunately, I've only done one series there, and again, that's circumstances. I've done a series of Vermont. I've done every series I've ever played at Lowell. I've done every series they've played at Connecticut. I've done Brooklyn, Staten Island. I've done Batavia several times, and I've done Jamestown several times. So, I mean, I've made the full circuit. I have not eliminated, I've done Hudson Valley as well. I've made the full circuit. Except for Tri-City. So I've been there, and I remember time now, for story time.
Oh, story time with Steve. I love story time with Steve.
I know you
do. It's the best part of the whole program. And there's a lot of nice good things. There's a lot of good things in the program.
Welcome to Storytime with Steve. It was 2010, because they played at Connecticut last year. So 2010. And it was always rewarding for me to go to Connecticut because loved my mother very much. And it would be a great opportunity for me to get together with her during the three-game series and so forth. That's another reason why I did Lowell. And I'll never be able to do that again. But I would go up there and you'd play a three-game series. Well, it turned out in this particular year, they had just it was not a combo. Lowell and Connecticut were a combo. They tried to combine road trips that are in proximity as much as possible. It's just easier scheduling. Well, Connecticut had been in Oneonta, New York the year before. So they just moved to Norwich. So I go in to do the three-game series. I have a great visit with Mom. I take her out to lunch and the whole thing. And I get to the third and final game of the series, which is getaway day. Now, what's the worst thing you can think of on getaway day? Extra innings. Well, State College starts a pitcher named Zach Von Rosenberg, a $1.2 million bonus baby in their system. And they go out, score a first inning run, and they're winning 1-0. Now, the game starts at 7:05. At 8:05, they're in the seventh inning. Now, you know I'm not superstitious, correct?
You are not superstitious.
I refuse to say the game was moving quickly because I thought if I did, I was in jeopardy here. The game went 1 hour, 32 minutes. The game was over at 8:37.
All the fans thought they got ripped off.
I did the post-game show of all post-game shows. Final score, 1-0, back with more after this. Final score, 1-0, back with more after this. Scores of other games? Yes, there were other games. We'll talk to you tomorrow here for the ballpark on the Spikes Radio Network. I was out of there at 8:45. There was a 6-hour, 20-minute trip. So I got back at about 3:35 in the morning. But of all the to get the 1 hour and 32 minute game, yes, I got the 1 hour and 32 minute game. And that is story time with Steve. Where's the big close? There we go. Be a little quicker on the draw there.
I'm sorry. I was hit the button, but nothing happened for a minute or two.
The story mesmerized you, didn't it?
I did. I was thinking about every minor league game, actually any baseball game I've taken my wife to. When we were dating, we went to a Phillies game that was actually a doubleheader when they the Twinight deals, and it was San Diego coming to town, and it was the last time they were coming to town, and it was a rain delay in the first game. Well, they finally got it started around, I don't know, it was supposed to be like 5:45. I think it finally got started around 7, 8 o'clock. And then in between games, the rain hit again. And they were talking on the PA system about the fact that San Diego does not come back and that the National League did not have a curfew at that time. So they continued to wait until about 12:30 to actually get the second game started. We left about four innings into the second game at about 2:30. Now, it's about 2.5 hours to get back to the area. She had to get to work at 5 o'clock the next morning. She had an hour's sleep. She's been to 5 baseball games, I think, in her entire life, and 4 of them have gone extra innings, including a minor league doubleheader, which only goes 7 innings in a doubleheader.
Well, I can tell you right now, we're not double dating as couples if that's the case. And I like your wife very much. She is a marvelous, marvelous girl.
I said, hey, we should go down to a Phillies game. She goes, can you pick one that please? This just does not go extras. That's all I'm asking.
I mean, Your wife is very nice and a lot of fun to be around. But just the mere thought that she brings with her extra innings is baggage.
Thank goodness it wasn't fireworks night.
Yeah. I did a game one time here with Hudson Valley where it was a little bit of a rain delay. The longest game they've ever played here, 14 innings. It was about 12:45 in the morning. All right, I'm sitting there like, I'm the only one left in the ballpark. Even the concession guys have gone home. And the pitch. That's amazing. I'm like, Hudson Valley scored. Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
I see you've never been so happy to call a loss.
I see light at the end of the tunnel. Because I'd gone to work that day at 5 in the morning. So I'd already been up for, at that stage, 19 and a half hours straight of work. And I was like, come on, baby. I did the last two soccer games I've done on the Big Ten Network. One was a women's soccer game, one was a men's soccer game. They both went double overtime. And I'm sitting there like, score! Somebody, score! I don't care which team, score! Oh. Jack and I, by the way, will get a little bit of airtime on the Big Ten Network for the Blue-White game. So.
Oh, Roger Corey's already nervous.
You're correct. He already is. But Tony DeSanti, the producer, texted me this morning. You know, it's one thing you want to do when you get into TV. You want to work with a producer who's on the same page as you are. Or in radio, the same thing. Technically, Kevin's the producer of the show, and of course, I think people know. All kidding aside, we're best of friends. And, you know, you want to get into a situation like that. And that's the way Tony's been with me. Tony's always been, you know, I've done a lot of work with Tony over the years on television. So just knowing he's doing the game, you know darn well he's going to try and get me on. So I was prepared for this.
So remember, the camera is on you when you're actually simulcasting on the Big Ten Network. So you have to look, you looked a little bit tired last time. I mean.
You thought I looked tired?
I was watching, when I watched it back, you didn't look excited. You didn't look enthused. I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, but they come to you when you're doing the game. You're looking at the field, you're talking with Jack. That's the entire point. Man, you're not supposed to go, hi there, everybody. Welcome.
Yes, I'm not saying you should wave to the camera.
Come on into the booth. Hey, look, Jack, we're over there. Hey there, everybody. Peace out.
You got to remember, all these in booth shots now are all studio style shots. Well, they're fake studios, but, you know, so everybody's excited, you know, everybody's, you know, but it's just, it wasn't the same.
But they're not doing a specific in-booth shot with us. Just taking you into the booth. You know?
Had a shot of you and Jack in the booth.
I know.
All right.
Well, we know that, but you're not in front of a backdrop.
No.
You notice
no,
when they do the in-booth shots with the announcers, they always have a backdrop. They're right. Probably either standing up or sitting on stools. We're just in our normal broadcast position. And the guy in the background, you know, playing with a paperclip because he's nervous is Roger.
That's true.
Now, were you in the booth when we did that last year?
Yes.
When they came in?
Yes.
Okay. So then you went back later to see if you were in the shot, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Come on.
Admit it. All right.
You wanted to find out if you were in the shot or not.
You want a better story than that? When we did watch it, because I wanted to hear how it sounded. All I wanted to do is I wanted to hear how it sounded because I saw it from the radio side and I saw Roger, you know, give you the countdown and everything. And then you're like, and welcome to those of you watching on the Big Ten Network. So I wanted to see how it sounded. I wanted to hear how it sounded. So I watched it and Daniel's going, who's the big guy back behind Mr. Jones? I said, that would be me. Thank you.
I love your kid. He speaks for the common man.
I'm like, really?
All right, coming up next, Emmanuel Sanders signs an offer sheet with the Patriots. We'll get a reaction from Ace Fan in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring.
Like a 2009 Ford Econoline Cargo Van E150 with the lowest price promise. So call for a price. 888-536-8017. 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, $12,999. 2006 Lexus LS 430, $25,888. Like new 2011 Lincoln MKX 4-wheel drive, $31,488. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, 5-speed, under 10,000 miles, just $34,995.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
All winter long, with very few exceptions, I've had the heat on here in the Sunbury Motors studio. But the last few days, there's been no need. In fact, I've opened the windows up. Well, it's so much thunder out there right now, we just closed the windows. We took care of that business. Emmanuel Sanders has signed an offer sheet with the New England Patriots. We now go to the unofficial president of Steeler Nation to get his reaction.
I'm fine with that. And he may go there and be. I'm happy about it. Reportedly, it's worth $2.5 million. According to a league source, and it's a one-year offer.
Well, the Patriots have already signed Julian Edelman to a one-year deal.
Yeah, I don't see it as being a big deal. I really don't. Pittsburgh doesn't have a whole lot of cap room either. So,
I'm surprised you say that, because it's put the Steelers in a very tough spot.
You know, I think there's enough depth at receiver that they've been able, that they can develop somebody to be in that spot.
With whom? Antonio Brown. There's no Miller. You're not going to have him this year.
I still have hope there.
No. Why would you have hope?
I still have hope.
No.
I don't think he'll start the season.
Look, can I point out something about Adrian Peterson? I am not accusing Adrian Peterson of anything. So please, this is not an accusation. But in today's society, why do we have, now based on recent trends with PEDs, right? Why is it in today's society that we allowed the comeback so incredibly quick of Adrian Peterson, but then get mad at Derrick Rose for taking his time? Can somebody answer me that?
I don't know.
And again, I'm accusing Adrian Peterson of nothing. Which one should you have more questions about? Should you have more questions about the guy that ripped up his knee on Christmas Eve and then was ready to go on opening day, Labor Day weekend? Or a guy that's gone through knee surgery and almost a year out, isn't quite ready, doesn't think he's quite ready for a game yet, which over the years has been the normal pattern? Yet which one gets more questions and which one's praised? The one that's getting the questions is the one that appears to be taking the traditional route. And I'm not saying Adrian Peterson didn't, but you should have more questions about why he's back so fast instead of questions why it's taking him so long. My opinion. It's incredible what Adrian Peterson's done. It's incredible. You know, it's also put pressure on everybody else to get back that fast. Now, when you only have an ACL, and I mean only, and I say that, you know, when I say you only have an ACL, that means it's just the one ligament. You don't have MCL or PCL or meniscus damage, okay? You can come back, obviously, a lot quicker. When you have the tip-off on length of time back is when the surgery takes place. That's a tip-off for every fan and every media person on the possibility of an accelerated recovery process. Because if the surgery is done within 8-9 days of the injury, that tells you the opportunity that there was not as much damage as originally feared, and you should be able to get back to the field quicker. If you have to wait 3 weeks before the surgery, that means there's more swelling, that means there's more damage, and that logically means it's going to take more time. Miller's surgery was 3 weeks after. You draw your conclusions.
But to get back to your wide receiver question.
If I were you, I'd draft a tight end.
Well, I think they will anyway. And there was actually Paulson, I think they kept, Dave Paulson. I think they kept
That's
him
nice.
A tight end as well.
That's nice.
They have a lot of hope for him.
Yeah. A lot of people that go to Mass on Sunday do too.
But I think Brown, Cotry's still there as far as I know anyway, and Burris, you have Brown as your breakaway receiver. I think Cotry and Burris can really be possession receivers. What?
Are you insane?
Why?
You hear the names you're putting out there?
Yeah.
I realize there's a little age there. Are you listening to what you're saying?
I realize there's some age there.
You know, if Yastrzemski can come back, I think the Red Sox will be okay in left field.
I think Country can do what Sanders did this year. 600 yards? That shouldn't be a big problem for Jericho Country. I just think it's too much money to spend when you don't have a lot of money to spend. You can try and get my attention all you want. It's a lot of money when you only have $2 million under the cap anyway.
Once again, the voice of the fan, Jericho Cotry. He's the answer.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. And it's not Kevin.
Huh?
I think that last comment by you says it all. Our number, 1-800-795-9565 in the Hilsers General Store hotline.
Is there too much rain out there? Is the lightning gotten to you?
I'm fine. I'm Steve Jones, and you're not.
Do you have a severe thunderstorm watch right now?
Well, we have a thunderstorm here. It's raining like crazy here.
You would assume that would lead to a thunderstorm warning, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
There's a lot of them around here, too. Northumberland, Columbia, Montour, Snyder, Union, you name it. It's in a warning. Most of those areas until 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll keep you up to date on that. There's another line of storms behind this as well. This is not done. Once this first line moves through, there's actually a second line behind it. Maybe about an hour and a half gap in between the two, but there is a second line.
And say goodbye to the 80s for a while.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. It's been really enjoyable, for example, being outside at football practice, you know, being there and, you know, just enjoying. Ivan Maisel of ESPN was there the other day, and he and I, we probably talked for about an hour. But it was just comfortable, the two of us standing out there talking about, you know, what was going on, you know. Now they're going to have to go indoors now. Even I know him, though. He's like, let's go outside instead. I can hear it. It's warm. Let's go. Then it's going to get cold. I mean, it is going to get cold. Jack and I are talking about going over on Saturday. It's going to be 36 degrees when they start that thing.
I'm thinking about the same thing. First day of trout Saturday, you get up, you try and get to your spot about 6 o'clock, which is 2 hours before you can start. I'm going to need a campfire to stay warm and cook breakfast.
You have to catch breakfast first, don't you?
You're assuming it's going to be a successful fish.
No, it sounds like you are. I'm assuming it's not. I'm assuming you're...
No. I guarantee that there's food available. That's the difference. I make sure that breakfast is available. I don't worry about whether I'm going to catch it. That might be dinner, but definitely I want to make sure breakfast is squared away first.
So you in the outdoors, making breakfast for everybody. Where is this going to be?
I don't know yet. Now, my father and I used to, when I was a kid, my father and I did this every year. We'd get up at 4 o'clock, be out at Briar Creek Lake in Columbia County, somewhere around 4:35 o'clock. We'd have breakfast rolling by about 6. We knew the Fish Commission officer, so he would come by, and he'd have breakfast with us for a few minutes. That usually got us at least another 5 minutes ahead of everybody else to throw their line in the water. But it became an event where a few times a couple of the guys would come by and go, "Hey, are you guys selling breakfast? Because I didn't have any yet this morning."
Yes.
We made a few bucks there. It was impromptu.
Two Penn State basketball players are going to transfer. Patrick Ackerman and Akosa Madaway-Bunam are going to be transferring. They've been granted their release to transfer from the Nittany Lion basketball program. Slice of news for you today. Ackerman played 13 games last year. Akosa played 14. Two good kids. I hope they do extremely well down the road. But they are transferring. Sometimes it takes a little while to. This has been, they've talked, it's been in the works for a little bit, but yes, the decision has been made to transfer. And Bucknell, of course, announcing its football schedule. Kevin, a bit up in arms. He does not want to travel to Dartmouth.
I am not looking forward to Dartmouth in October. Although the leaves should be nice.
Phil played at Brown. He was telling me this story. He goes, they go up to Dartmouth to play. And I guess he plays, pretty well. But he said, it was kind of a mixed bag day for him. His father would come up and goes, "Hey, Billy, you did a great job. I'm proud of you, the whole thing." His mother was like, "What happened on this play?
Not the way you would normally expect it, but yeah.
Mom knows her football. Mom knows her football. That was a good one.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what Joe Susan thinks about having his bye week in, last year it was in week one. It was the first week of the season.
That's not good.
This year they've got a bye on that first official weekend, and then on the 14th of September.
Well, Penn State has two bye weeks this year.
Right, and that's the way Bucknell is.
Penn State has two bye weeks. One is at the end of the non-conference schedule, so it's September 28th. So they'll play four non-conference games: Syracuse at MetLife, then Eastern Michigan, Central Florida, and Kent State. Then they get a bye. Then they play at Indiana, and they have Michigan here. And and then after that, they have another bye week, and then that's Ohio State.
Yeah, it's bye week, Marist for the opener, and that's actually the home opener. And then the 14th is a bye week, and then it's straight through from September 21st to November 23rd, ending in Lexington with VMI. And I didn't mention earlier, the homecoming game will be Lehigh on the 26th.
Okay.
Non-conference schedule was really, really tough last year. You had Harvard, Delaware, just to name a few on the non-conference schedule. That was a real tough schedule. But, there were times where Bucknell looked like they were going to be in both games before they finally just got outmanned. So So it'll be interesting to see how that team grows this year with a lot of the players back. And we'll have Joe Susan on to talk with you about it.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. So.
And the Bucknell spring game, by the way, is the same night or same day as the Penn State blue-white game. So you can go see the blue-white game, then make it back in time for Bucknell's spring game, which will be in the evening. Hopefully it doesn't rain this time.
Hopefully not. Hopefully that's the key to it. I mean, the weather is the key to it, without question. But I like the way this football team is progressing. Yeah, been a couple of guys bumped up. Yeah, Gary Gilliam's been bumped up. Calf injury, hasn't done anything this spring. He will be back for summer conditioning. But he'll have some catch-up work to do. The spring was going to be very important in him, for him making the transition from tight end to tackle. Then, I mean, so he's been bumped up a little, but there really hasn't been anything else of significance. Well, I mean, Ben Klein being hurt. I mean, everybody knows Ben's been out with a shoulder injury, and he's actually getting closer. It would have helped him, and he will improve the depth at linebacker. I think Gary Wooten has improved the depth at linebacker. Gary Wooten out of Miami has done a really nice job as the number two middle linebacker. Klein will play on the outside anyway. Linebacker, for one of the few times here, a bit thin, but Klein coming back in combination with Wooten. And then after that, the Bell kid they're bringing in, and a couple other guys. I think Matthew Bainey's done pretty well. TJ Radigan's done pretty well. So the depth, you can look at it now and say, okay, how deep are they there? But when you look at the big picture, the depth at linebacker, which has always been a strong point. They've always been very strong in terms of depth at linebacker, at least when I've been around, with few exceptions, is not going to be as bad, I think, as originally thought. I think that'll work out okay, the depth at linebacker. Secondary's done well. Adrian Amos has done well. Trevor Williams done very well at the corner. They moved him from wide receiver to corner, and he's done very well. Our number 1-800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in. And if Kevin's in the booth this year, what should he wear in case he appears on the Big Ten Network?
I'm going to wear something really, really dark. You won't be able to see me then. I just wonder if you're going to actually smile when you're on camera.
What do you want me to do? Hey, thanks so much. Well, yeah. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll give it some juggle? Thought.
Juggle? Hmm. When Jack and I are like, hey.
I'll have to think about that. I'll let you know. That's got potential.
No, it doesn't.
I would YouTube that. That has YouTube written all over it.
You're amazing. What would you do if in the Bucknell spring game they go to Doug and you in the booth?
What would I do if the Big Ten Network went to me and Doug in the booth?
Yeah.
Jump up and down.
90 million homes? Really?
That would be ecstatic.
Doug in Wellsboro. Hi, Doug.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Doug. Great to hear from you.
Have you been going to the spring practices at all, Steve?
Let's see.
They don't let them at spring practices.
I've gone to every single one, Doug. What do you want to know?
That's why you're the man. We count on you, Steve.
Okay.
What are they going to do with Belton this year? If Zach, I mean, is basically going to be the lead back, and Akeel Lynch is supposed to be really good, what are they going to do with Belton this year?
Well, you know what? So far what they've done, Doug, is they've just split reps between the three. Zwinak has certainly taken his fair share of reps. Lynch has had his fair share of reps. But so has Belton. Belton has come back stronger. I mean, his physical definition in his upper body and his arms is noticeable. And he's also been very quick during the course of the spring. So he's given a very good account of himself. And when they've split out the running backs, they've all taken turns. It has not just been, we're going to run a split and it's only going to be Belton. They've split out Zwinak. They've split out Akeel Lynch. They want everybody to fit in as parts along the way. So they have not, paring down as to what a role is going to be, Doug, is not going to happen until August. Right now, it's a wide open situation for everybody where the reps are split.
What's his attitude been like?
He's been great. That's what I've been impressed with. I think Bill Belton's attitude has been great. I think he's come out there with a very hard-nosed approach as to what he's been able to do. I think the fact that everything's been split so far between the three of them and there's been no bias one way or the other to somebody else, I think has allowed him to feel like he's right there in the thick of it. And look, you and I both know it's such a physical game. Having three quality backs is a luxury. Alabama last year went through with two of them. They went through with Lacey and Yeldon last year, and it worked for them. I think you have to have, at least in this game, at least two of them.
Is anybody pushing Butterworth for the punting?
No. Yeah. I think right now, Butterworth, that's his baby. They've had Rennie Parthamore has been in there, and they've had Eli Skinner there. But there's no question Butterworth is the guy.
Hey, the last thing is, I know Bill's not going to come out and say it, but is it basically Hackenberg going to get a shot in August? They see how he does, and then they'll go from there. I mean, I assume Bench and Ferguson haven't differentiated themselves. So is it Hackenberg's to lose, even as a true freshman?
Well, there's a big difference here, Doug. You're talking about Bench, who will now be, at this point, a full year in the program and has very good command of what they want to do. Ferguson's in the same spot that Matt McGloin was in last year, where he came in January and then had to learn what was going on. And Ferguson's done a great job of picking that up. Hackenberg's going to be in a position where his practical application of this is going to be behind both Bench and Ferguson. So he's going to have some catching up to do once he gets to camp. These two guys already have a head start on him, so you have to keep that in mind. I'll say this about Hackenberg. He's bigger than I expected him to be, and he's broader across the chest area than I expected to be. And I found that to be, in terms of being a physical specimen, impressive.
I thought his dad said they were kind of hoping he would redshirt the first year also. So.
Well, I mean, he's going to start out behind. There's just no way, even though he can go through the playbook all he wants, it's the practical application of the playbook, what the checks are at the line of scrimmage, what you do as a pre-snap read, are all things that he's going to have to pick up as quickly as possible versus two guys who have now been doing it on a weekly basis for the past month.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for taking the time today to talk to me. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, that's going to be, I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, what the window is for Christian Hackenberg coming in here. And I think you have to take it from a logical point of view. You're talking about two talented guys in Stephen Bench and Tyler Ferguson, both of whom I've seen improve dramatically in 3 weeks, that just flat out have a head start. Now, does that mean Hackenberg's out of it? No, because he's obviously very talented. But there's more than taking the ball, looking and throwing the ball and completing the ball. You know, in this offense, you have to get up there, and Hackenberg's very smart. So I'm not, you know. But again, there's a practical application to it where you get up there, pre-snap read, who's the mic, what play are you in, what coverage are they in? And where do you go from there? Matt McGloin did a great job last year in pre-snap reads. And pre-snap in today's game is very, very, very important. All of us see the end result in post-snap. It's what you do in pre-snap that helps set up post-snap. And he very well may be able to step right in and handle it. But I do know that two guys have a definite head start on somebody who's not here until the last couple of days of June.
I just hope fans don't, you know, have too high of expectations right out of the gate for Christian right away.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I'm as anxious as anybody. If he goes in there and picks it up and he's the best guy, then he should start. But if he goes in there and, you know, these two guys, you know, one or the other happens to be the better guy at that particular moment, then whomever gives them the best shot at winning that particular week has got to be the starting quarterback. Whomever that is.
That's got to be tough, though, when you've had no spring practice, coming in as a freshman with a couple of guys who's, you know, had some time to learn everything. I mean, basically, all you've had time to do would be look at everything on paper.
Right. You know, but it's part of the maturity of being in college football. A lot of freshman college quarterbacks fall into the same category. They come in June, and that's when they get rolling. There aren't that many that come in and start playing in the spring. Although there are seven guys now, and I don't like the rule. I don't like the rule that I've never have about guys bagging their final year or their final half year of high school to already be in college.
No.
That's never lit me up too much. I mean, guys have done it here. Dan Connor did it here. Gerald Hodges did it here. There certainly have been guys who have done that and had success.
But I think the other side of it is it misses an opportunity in life that you'll never have again.
And I agree with that. I think I agree with that wholeheartedly. You should be there in your final year, you know, your final half year of high school, your final prom, your graduation, everything that goes with it. I think there's something to be said for going through that. I think we have too much in today's society always trying to accelerate the process. There's no need to accelerate the process. There's a reason why the process has worked so well for a long time.
That's always what I see in senior year with very talented student athletes, male or female. They'll give up some of the sports that they would normally do in the spring so you don't get hurt, or you could work on this because you want to play football in the fall, or you want to play field hockey, or whatever the case may be. I really don't like to see high schoolers especially give up an opportunity to play a sport because you're probably not going to play it again. Take advantage of the opportunity while it's there.
Agree with that wholeheartedly. Tomorrow, Corey Geiger and I are going to debate whether college athletes should get a stipend. I think you might enjoy that. Time to venture out to practice. Dodge the rain drops to Huluba.